I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, and with a look this morning at the CME Group ahead of the USDA reports due out at 11 a.m. Central Time. The acreage and grain stocks figures will be released. You can find all that information on our website as it's released very quickly thereafter, within a minute or so, at willag.org. That's willag.org. Overnight, the national average basis was corn was down 2 cents, by the way. That's at 19 cents. Under the September futures contract. The corn index up a penny, trading at $4.24 for the cash price nationwide. The national average basis for soybeans a penny higher at 29 cents over the August contract, and the soybean index from DTN down 3 cents. Trade there at $14.07. We'll take a more complete look at what's been happening in Chicago in a few moments, but at this time, let's take in some of the numbers. Corn futures are down 4 to 6 cents. Soybeans are 2 to 4 higher for the day, and the soft red winter wheat is down just about 7 and a quarter cents at this hour.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, there were heavy rainfall over the weekend. We'll hear more about that and what we can see in the future from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
This morning's U.S. Midwest weather forecast continues to be one that's going to be tilted towards a drying bias now. We have plenty of moisture out there in most areas today, but the topsoil is firming up in the eastern portions of the Midwest, and we're going to see a restricted amount of rainfall for a while across those areas. In fact, in the western Corn Belt, we're going to see restricted rainfall as well. However, today we'll see some more strong thunderstorms occurring in portions of the region from Iowa to Michigan. In that corridor, we could see some 1 to 2 inch rains and some locally greater totals possible. In fact, so far, we've already seen more than 6 inches of rain occur in a few counties in central and east central parts of Iowa. The heavier rains are part of a slow-moving frontal boundary that is associated with a very intense low-pressure system in southeastern parts of Canada's prairies. That storm system has produced torrential rains and flooding over the weekend, with damage done to many crops in southeastern eastern Saskatchewan and parts of Manitoba. Well, that same storm system will be pushing a lot of cold air into the heart of the U.S. over the next 2 or 3 days, and we will see these strong storms today in response to the contrast in air mass temperatures taking place. However, the support for the stronger thunderstorms from Iowa to Michigan today will disappear already tomorrow morning. And we probably won't see the precipitation reaching into areas of the lower eastern Midwest at all. Whatever precipitation occurs in those areas will likely be extremely brief and light, and the topsoil will continue drying down. We will expect to see some continued favorable crop development across much of the Midwest. However, we do still have good subsoil moisture in many areas, and of course the western Corn Belt has had more than its needed amount of moisture, and the ground is still saturated in many areas. A lot of feedback moisture will occur this week across some of the western Corn Belt, and isolated showers will pop up in the instability of afternoon heating. However, with this colder air coming southward from Canada, it's going to be difficult to get very many thundershowers occurring in a significant manner, at least until the warmer air returns. We are expecting to see the afternoon temperatures today in much of the Midwest in the 80s with a few 70s in the north. However, in the northern plains, it will already be turning unusually cold with upper 50s. 50 and 60 degree highs in parts of North Dakota and Minnesota here this afternoon. That air mass will continue to sink southeastward through the Midwest as we go from Tuesday through Thursday, and afternoon highs will likely turn out to be mostly in the upper 60s and 70s across a big part of the northern Corn Belt, and southern areas will probably see 70s and lower 80s during the heights of the cooler period, which again will be during midweek. We'll expect to see warmer air starting to return to the Midwest as we get out a little bit further in time, late this week, more likely this weekend into early next week. The warm-up will likely destabilize the atmosphere as we start to draw some of this moisture back out of the soil. So I'm not expecting to see a prolonged period of dry weather, but what rain does occur is going to be erratic and mostly too light to bolster soil moisture additionally, and we will see quite a few areas still experiencing net drying conditions. A small disturbance could move over the top of the ridge of high pressure that's going to be anchored in the plains as we move toward the late weekend and early part of next week, and that could bring better rains into a part of the central and eastern portions of the Midwest while leaving the southwest with a little bit of a drier bias. The bottom line is still supportive for reproduction coming up later this month or later in July, but we are going to have to see some greater amounts of precipitation a little later down the road in order to assure the best possible conditions. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
All right, thanks. Of course, go to Drew Lerner for his weekday updates of the weather forecast for the growing regions across the planet. Outside the studios here in Urbana-Champaign, the rain is falling, 70 degrees now. For the storm total at this time, about 0.6 of an inch of rain have fallen. For the month of June, 7 4/10 is our current tally.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Opening Market Report on a Monday morning. Matt Bennett is on the phone line this morning. Aaron Curtis is out of the office. Matt, of course, is from TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Good morning to you, Matt.
Good morning, Todd.
Well, we have a little rainfall. The corn crops across the nation, while it's been battered a little bit, certainly appears to look good. Tassels are coming out across a good portion of central Illinois and probably a lot more of the Corn Belt in the late week. And gosh darn, if I wasn't at home over the weekend in Elkhart near Springfield, and God, the beans are blooming too.
Yeah, I mean, everything looks awfully good. Obviously, the crop ratings are excellent. I think that a person probably needs to keep that in mind today, you know, with the numbers coming out from the USDA, that if we do get bullish numbers, either on corn or beans, old or new crop, that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to close higher today, because we've got to keep in mind what's going on with the crop in the field as well.
Well, those are a couple of things that will have to happen. What are your expectations? Because this report is due in just a couple of hours, 3 hours now, 2 hours actually, at 11 o'clock Central Time this morning. What are your expectations for acreage and for grain stocks?
Well, my opinion on acreage is that corn acres probably has a chance maybe to move a little bit lower, but maybe not quite as low as maybe what some guys are saying. You know, when you look at this 91.7 that we came out with earlier in the year, I don't know that we're going to quite get there. I mean, I'm in the 91.5, maybe 91.4 camp, and on beans, I'm definitely higher on beans. I don't know exactly what to look for. It's going to be tough to tell, but I'm still in the 82.5. Above wouldn't surprise me one bit. And then on stocks, I'm probably fairly close to the average on stocks. It's tough for me to tell one way or the other. Obviously, usage has been very good. But, you know, when you look at soybeans, I don't really look for them to make any drastic revisions. I think that we still have a fair amount of imports coming into the country. And then, you know, at the same token, I think that even though we're extremely tight, I don't think we're going to run out as well, because harvest for some people will be happening here in the next 6 weeks.
And so if you're at 82.5, you're up almost a million acres on soybeans from where USDA was in the month of March. If that actually were to come out, what happens to the bean market?
I think 82.5 is probably digestible. I think 83 or above is probably going to be awfully bearish. 82.5 from a long-term perspective, I think will be bearish. But a lot of this is also going to have, as you know, a lot to do with what the old crop stocks are, because if we end up coming out and revising those maybe even a little bit lower, that could be pretty interesting. Now, on the other hand, you know, a lot of people have been talking about a chance to maybe revise the 2013 crop a little bit bigger. From the soybean perspective, if that happens, obviously that's going to be pretty tough on the bean market.
It would be unlikely, and of course it wouldn't happen in this report, but it would be unlikely for that to happen in any of the WASDE numbers, and wouldn't happen until the September grain stocks report, right?
Well, I believe so, but I think that there could be implications. You know, if we end up showing that actually carryout is maybe going to even grow just a hair or stay status quo, whenever most of us realize, based upon exports and usage, you know, it should be lower than what we've been all along. You know, to me, sometimes I look at these reports whenever we're this tight, and I think, you know, we come up with a bare minimum number, you know, as far as what the carryout is, and we work our way up on the table. You know, I'm not sure, obviously, that's not what happens, but it makes you wonder sometimes.
Thanks, Matt, for taking the time with us.
Yep, thanks, Todd.
Matt Bennett at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. Coming up on the top of the hour, it'll be 9 o'clock Central Time. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. Look for us online in the agricultural programming for willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. There you'll find all of today's reports posted right at 11 o'clock Central Time. In Chicago, futures in the corn pit are down 4 3/4 at 438 and a quarter for the July. December at 440 1/2, 6 3/4 lower. July of next year at 465, down 6 1/4. Beans trading July at 1434 and a quarter, up 2 1/4. November at 1228 1/2, a half higher. And the January 12.35 3/4, a penny and 3/4 higher. Bean meal at $1.20 higher. Bean oil down 14 cents. July soft red winter wheat 7 1/2 lower at 577 3/4. The hard red down a penny, or rather up a penny and 3/4 in the July. And August live cattle at 151.12 1/2 are down $1.62 1/2. August feeders at 214.32 1/2 are 80 cents lower. And July lean hogs at $132.90, $1.05 higher. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.